From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 50-50 Podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition of Inside Texas High School Soccer, Episode 6. I am your host, Coach Hector Cano. I'm joined by my lovely co-host here. He's no longer, do not refer to him as the most interesting man alive. He is not the Obi-Wan Kenobi of Texas High School Soccer. We simply call him Hollywood now. He is Coach Rafa Casarena. Coach, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good here, live from Buda, Texas.
This is why you used to be the most interesting man in the world, right? So what's going on down there?
So I'm here doing a recruitment trip for the university I work with. Doing some yesterday I was at Crockett High School in Bowie. Hopefully I didn't give any bad luck to Bowie going there. And then today I was at Maynard and Maynard U Tech. Tomorrow I'll be at Hayes High School, and then I finally get to come back home.
Yeah. So if you're in currently in the still in the state playoffs, do not schedule Coach Rafa to come to your school. All right. So just FYI. Awesome. So dude, crazy, right? Crazy stuff, right? As expected, by district, area, regional quarterfinals. We're gonna talk about that in a little bit, but great show. We've got an absolutely loaded show today. We got Coach Bert Atilano from San Antonio Harlan. He'll be joining us momentarily. Then we're also going to go look at our game balls award, our team stickers. Then we have Jackson Verwick of the Frisco Sports Network joining us later in the show, and then we'll wrap up. We'll look ahead at some of our highlighted regional tournament matches. We're not going to highlight all of them, obviously, because we could spend probably 2-3 episodes just on that, but going to look at about 6 on the boys' side and 6 on the girls' side, different, all two apiece from each classification. So it should be fun. But before we bring in Coach Atilano, tell us how's initial thoughts on just this bi-district area, and definitely last night, right, Monday and Tuesday, the regional quarterfinal, just chaos.
Yeah, this, you know, when we did bracketology, you know, we had some, you know, some favorites, some clear favorites, and you know, and it's kind of gone out the window because there's, I guess, compared from the last few years we've done it, this year's been the surprise. We've had a lot of upsets, I guess you could say. A lot of, I guess, Cinderella's not ready to go home yet. And, you know, and we have a few, couple of them still. And you know, some of the ones that we thought, I think they were going to make it deep, ended up kind of crashing and burning in some of the early rounds. But that just tells you, you know, you can never know what could happen in the playoffs. And if you're peaking at the right time or you end up with a really good matchup, like last night I was at the, San Antonio Johnson Westlake game and Austin Westlake game there in San Marcos, and it was probably one of the best games I've seen. You know, it was toe to toe, you know, both teams, you know, the pedigree, they have lots of talent there. And, you know, it came down to, you know, a little defensive mistake and Johnson are able to pull off a win. And that's what it takes sometimes, you know. Sometimes you do need some luck from the soccer gods and continue and survive to the next round.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Every year, without fail, without exception, even the most talented of teams, right? We talked about it. We posted about it the other night. I think it was Monday night with, and we'll talk more about this match later, but I think it was the boys 6A, Katie Seven Lakes and Jordan matchup, right? That we kind of hinted, you know, a bit of a hint of luck goes along somewhere in there, is sprinkled in there, right? With a lot of talent to make that run all the way to a state title. You have to have, something has to fall your way, bounce your way, whatever, insert whatever adjective, right, you want. But luck, no doubt, luck, definitely a little bit of luck in there, obviously, just kind of, if it can go your way, it can be that difference, right? So which is tough, with as much as our coaches and teams prepare, I get it, right? You don't know, never are we saying that it's because someone got lucky, right? but a little bit of luck along the way for sure. So, you know, you talked about last night's matchup there, San Antonio Johnson and Westlake, great match, 2-1, the final, Johnson advances. Any other maybe just single match from yesterday or Monday in terms of the regional quarterfinal that you maybe kind of stood out to you?
You know, the one that really, you know, stood out to me was the Life Waxahachie girls knocking off Stephenville. That was just out of left field because of what's Stephenville, you know, they were state finalists last year. We were kind of expecting maybe, you know, to get back to it again, you know, depending on the game against Salado again, you know, because I think those two were on a collision course. But you got to give credit to Life Waxahachie. You know, they found a way. You know, when you find a way, and that's all that matters, because at the end of the when the clock's at zero, if you're ahead, that's what counts. And so kudos to them, you know.
Yeah.
So those are some prizes, and there's some first timers. I think we have quite a few first timers going into the regional tournament.
We do.
Like the Lavernia boys, you know, they're a first timer. A couple other ones too. Mm-hmm. I think even the girls from St. Ellie, I think they're for kind of like, I think, you know.
Yeah, they've been right around in this range, typically pretty close. But yeah, pretty awesome. Pretty awesome to see them kind of breaking through, matching the boys, right? Obviously. So. Yeah, no doubt. And that Life Waxahachie. Wow. Yeah, I saw that. I had to do a triple take on that final score. But yeah, I mean, and you know, and that's the thing, right? These new teams that are now joining us, what that are maybe for the quote unquote first timers, right? How do they handle this next phase, right? So we're through the first phase of the state playoffs, right? The bi-district area regional quarterfinal. How do they now, in a really tricky week where you have the regional quarterfinal and the regional tournament in the same week, right? So if you play Tuesday, you're looking at three high-level matchups, I guess, against probably the best talent your team has seen in, what's that, 3 games in 4 days, right? So
that's
going to be tough, right? Or 3 games in 4 days, or what, 3 games in 5 days maybe. So if my math is right on that. So either way, that's going to be tough. How do they handle that in terms of the semifinal, right? And then how much legs, how much depth? This is where one, depth, and two, coaching kind of starts to show, right?
Yeah, the biggest thing at this phase of the game when it comes to the playoffs, I think the two biggest factors is, there's a couple factors. One, how good are you playing? That's, you know, if you're on clicking on hind cylinders, your confidence level is going to be up.
Yeah.
Then the second thing most important is the coaching. Coaching really does matter. If you know, this kind of separates, I don't want to say like the men from the boys, but as far as, you know, who's been in these battles, how can you game plan these games? You know, how do you get out of these certain situations? And, you know, that's going to come down to, you know, the leadership, you know, are your players still buying what you're trying to do? Can they execute the game plan that you have set up for those games? And then the third thing I think is important is how healthy you are. I think injuries do, I think there's some teams that maybe that, you know, were favored. I think maybe they got hit with the injury bug, maybe on the first playoff game and just not able to recover. So those are kind of the three big factors.
Yeah. Yeah. And no doubt there were definitely some teams that they, for lack of better words, they limped their way into the playoffs, right? Which is always tough, which is for sure. It's always tough. But in terms of the next phase, the regional tournament, now we're going to kind of shift gears, start talking a little bit about that. And we are going to go ahead and bring in an individual who's very familiar to the regional tournament, Coach Bert Atilano of San Antonio Harlan. Coach, how are you?
Good, good. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good, Coach. Thank you for being here. Hey, I almost didn't recognize you with the fresh haircut there, man.
Yeah, man. I've been getting that a lot. Yeah, it's been 4 years of that, and it's finally time to get it off and back to normal now. So.
Right. So is this the new kind of superstitious thing to try to maybe break through this time to Georgetown, kind of cut the hair, or no? no link there whatsoever?
No link there. It's just Texas Heat got to me last summer, and I was like, no, this summer's going to be different. But no.
Yeah. Hey, I'll cut your hair, coach, but you know, I only know how to cut hair one way, right?
Yes, so, I know. I love you.
But, coach, thanks for being here. Appreciate you, and congratulations again, fresh off your win last night.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
1-0 on your birthday, as I understand that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So yeah. It normally, when we're lucky enough to make it this far, you know, and the dates line up, it's probably about my fourth time that I played a playoff game on my birthday. So,
yeah,
you know, awesome. It's also neat to have that experience, you know, and
yeah,
you know, win yeah. On your birthday.
are you undefeated on your birthday? I guess that's the question.
I am undefeated on my birthday.
There you go. So you got to petition the UIL, see if they can schedule the state final on your birthday, right?
Yeah, just around my birthday. That's right.
Awesome. So, coach, so again, thank you for being here. But tell us, so what has this, you know, the season, kind of navigating the season, you know, you win your district title again. Once it, what was that, the fifth, sixth straight year? What was that?
That's our fourth straight district title, undefeated district title here at Harlan.
Yeah.
Fourth year in 6A. So,
yeah.
Guys have been working hard, and that's one of the things, you know, moving forward is our kids have that expectation, and they don't want to be that class that doesn't win it, you know, that extra added pressure on their side. To me, it's, you know, as long as we can get the best seed possible. But, you know, the kids, you know, they always want, you know, they don't want to be that class to.
Yeah.
Break that streak per se. So,
right.
But yeah, it's been our fourth consecutive district title.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, congratulations. And obviously it helps when you have talented players, no doubt, but what do you feel has kind of created cult, you know, cultivated and now kind of galvanized that culture there in terms of your district where it keeps going? What do you think has fed that?
It's just a culture of high expectations that we have at Harlan High School. And we've been blessed as well with players that are number one coachable. They're passionate for the sport. You know, they that gritty type of player that we've had. Yes, we've had talented players, but they've been talented players that you know aren't afraid to get in the mix. You know, very down to earth. You know, and it's always easy to push into what a coach wants when the kids buy into it. And yeah. We've been blessed at Harlan to have a great community, great parents, great families. And I think that goes, you know, there's no mistake why those kids are like that, because their families are, you know, are like that as well. Super supportive of anything that we do, and super blessed with our families and our students at Harlan.
Awesome. Awesome. So before we get to the regional tournament, right, tell us, what has it been like wrapping up district and then kind of prepping and then these first three rounds of the state playoffs so far? What have they been like? Have they kind of – obviously, they've been a success, but have they kind of round-by-round matches in terms of just your substitutions, game plan, have they played out the way you would have liked, or are there definitely lots of things to still work on? How has that played out?
You know, going into district play and doing what our kids have been doing, I was super pleased with the team that we had this year. It's much different than last year. I graduated 18 seniors last year. 15 seniors. I have 8 seniors on the team this year. And just a different dynamic, you know. Super talented players last year. This year, we do have some talent, but it's not like we had last year. This team is more of a team effort all the way around. And then so we had some injuries early on, and we had to, you know, bring guys in that may have not got much playing time, but that was able to help us and grow our program, grow our team. And right now we're, I'd say, you know, 80 to 90% healthy. We still have some guys that are still recovering, but at this point in time, I think every team is like that. And just that's that adversity with these deep playoff runs is – you have to be able to, you know, like I say, just get out there and be ready as much as possible. And going into the district, going into playoffs, we had Del Rio first round, Edinburgh second round, and Harlingen third round. And those first two matches against Del Rio and Edinburgh really allowed us to really get guys some experience. We were, had a lot of success those two games, and you know, we were able to play our guys, our starters, and quickly, you know, bring them out and have our number twos or number threes get in there and get a lot of playing time, get some experience, and hopefully that'll benefit us in the future. And then last night against Harlingen, that was a different type of game. You know, third round, with that, you know, being able to go into the regional tournament, a little added pressure, different environment. And again, our guys were able to manage and pull out that 1-0 victory. But I think all those things have helped us and put us in a good situation moving forward into the regional tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And we got a nice little welcoming message here from Coach Michael Strong over at Bernie here for you, Coach, who invited this guy.
Yeah, Coach Strong.
No, he's got a nice little message there for you. So it wouldn't be Coach Strong without some kind of jab. Right. Yeah. So awesome. Coach Strong, thanks for listening. Appreciate you. But yeah, so Rafa, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you. Any questions for Coach Atilano?
I know he hammered my ex team pretty good on that first round game. I'm sure they're still smarting that because I got calls about that game. Coach, going into this week, this Friday's game against Vandergrift, how do the boys feel right now? Yeah, coming into this game, I know it's going to be a tougher opponent than Harlingen because like I said, Vandergrift knocked off a really good, talented Austin Bowie team. So you know, how do you guys feel about this game coming up?
I think our guys are confident. Our guys understand that it's not going to be the same type of game. But on my side, that's why I like to, you know, schedule a tough preseason schedule, all the way from scrimmages, you know, getting Johnson, getting Reagan, getting Lee in there. We had Alexander United for scrimmages, and then going to the Elite Showcase in Dallas, and then going to the Lake Travis tournament. I think, you know, going through that gauntlet of a preseason, in my opinion, can set us up. And I think we're reaping those benefits right now that, you know, going through that preseason, going into district, our guys are able to compete against, you know, some of the better teams out in the state, because our guys consider our team to be one of the best teams in the state as well. So, yeah, it definitely will be a different opponent, but our guys are ready and ready for Vandergrift.
Yeah, and we got Coach Johnson from Johnson here rooting for you for an all-SA regional final.
LSA final. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, shout out to Coach Johnson as well.
Same thank you colors, too. I mean, it's
same colors. Be,
yeah. Right?
Yeah, who's the home team in that one, right? How do you determine that one?
Oh, it's through UIL. It's already set up that way. So right. They'd be the home team. They're on the top of the bracket. We're on the bottom right. side. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to try to flip them, get another coin flip in there, right? So you can wear your, wear your baby blues.
I like Coach Johnson to have his colors.
Yeah. Maybe have the game there, move it to Toyota, right? There you go. Neutral site there.
Now, so Coach, this is your third time in 4 years. Obviously, unfortunately, you weren't there last year. But, you know, you assess this team from the previous two teams, 2021, 2022. What is the key, maybe the key characteristic, the key trait that's different about this group this year?
It's just, like I said, believing and trusting. I think that's the biggest one this year was trust. Mm-hmm. Those eight guys, the seniors that have, out of those eight, only two were freshmen and were part of those first, the 2021 season against Lake Travis, a lot of playing time 2022. So those guys, you know, setting the example and again, trusting in each other, that's been one big thing. One of our words this year is trust. We have to trust in each other, in what we do, how we carry ourselves. But that's been the biggest trait and a big characteristic that I've kind of pulled away from this season is trust. Trusting on my end, on the coaching staff, trusting our players through injuries and all that, and who's going to step in and who's going to do all that to those captains and those leaders on the team, trusting their teammates and the young guys coming up, you know, so I think that's our biggest one this year is trust.
Yeah. You know, I hear you talk about trust and obviously a vital piece, but sometimes as coaches, we have to remind ourselves to practice what we preach right on that one, as far as showing them that trust as well. So no doubt I agree with you on that one. Rafa, you got anything else for Coach?
Yeah. As far as going into this season, what was some of the expectations? So you mentioned about losing all those 15 seniors. How did the team feel about like the expectation or how far can they go? How are they feeling now knowing that they're at this point and they're two steps away from going to Georgetown?
Yeah, that was definitely at the beginning of the season, and even at the end of last season, you know, when they finally realized that, hey, you know what, these guys, after that last game, hey, they're not a part of our offseason workouts anymore. You know, so 2 weeks into offseason, you know, those guys had to start leading each other. And I think that's when they realized that, you know what, hey, you know, and we do have enough to do damage and to have a successful season the following year. And coming into this year, our summer workouts, everything that the guys, all the time the guys put into it, led by our seniors, you know, them doing it on their own and all that. I think that helped and has created a different team this year by far. And it's just, again, we're not as talented individually as we were last year, but as a team, I think we move the ball well. We can play different styles of play. Obviously, with our injuries this year, we had two or three different formations that we had to kind of adjust to and use to find some success. So our guys are battle tested. They believe in each other. They fight for each other because that's another one of our words at Harlan is family. And we really believe in that, and those guys buy into that. And, you know, that's what I'm super excited about this year, because I think they have put themselves in a situation to be successful. And they believe they can match up against anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Coach, obviously you're no stranger to the regional tournament, playing at home there at Comalander, and that's where you return again this year. And you also know, or I'm sure you're aware of that narrative that's floating out there, right, in terms of the San Antonio-Austin rivalry, right, particularly at the 6A level. How much, from your perspective, from your experience, how much has playing in that regional tournament here at home at Comalander, how much has it been as much of a home field advantage as it sounds like on paper, or what has been that experience for you in the last couple of years? And what are you hoping for this year?
I think at that, you know, at this stage, you know, going into a regional tournament, whether it's on your home, you know, your home city, your hometown or not, I think our kids are so used to travel with club and with our tournaments that I think they adjust easily, whether you're at home or away. So I don't really see it as an advantage. I do see, by far, that's been our biggest turnout, you know, mm-hmm. as far as fans. These the last two times we were at the regional tournament. That's going to be a big plus and a big help for us. But I just think that the teams are, you know, at that point, those teams are, you know, they're ready for that. So I don't see too much an advantage of as far as a team, you know, being a home team or in your home city, hometown. And that's another one of the reasons why we go and we travel to Dallas and we go travel to Austin, just to kind of get that different feel. Hey, you know what? We're the only ones in this town that we're not from here, or we are from here, you know, playing at home. So just kind of setting them up for success and not being the first time that they get to the regional tournament and their first time they're experiencing something. If we're fortunate enough to make it to the state tournament, that's not the first time they're going out and staying in a hotel and going to a different town, because we've done it before. So I just think that preparation is key, and you know, as much as we can do to prepare ourselves, I think all coaches do that for their teams that, you know, that are here at the regional tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Coach, this has been great. Really appreciate your time. Obviously we know you're busy. We know you got to prep, and wishing you the absolute best of luck, and more to come from Rafa and I, as we will be in attendance and we will be on the call there covering your match. So we're looking forward to covering that as well. Really appreciate your time. But before we let you go, as is customary, kind of want to give you the opportunity, give you the floor. Any shout outs, thank yous, anything that's on your mind regarding your team, the game, anything, the floor is yours.
Just want to thank you guys, first of all, for inviting me and having me on, showcasing Harlan and San Antonio area and the state. I'm a big proponent in advocating for our sport. And that's why I'm also, you know, heavily involved in Tasco, and have been doing that for quite some time. So shout out to Tasco and what they do for our coaches here in Texas. And then our families here at Harlan, my personal family as well, you know, for my kids and all that stuff, for, you know, for kind of being at home, you know, alone for some time there while we go on our runs and our tournaments and all that. And then our families for Harlan, for all that, our administration. I just want as many people here in San Antonio to come out to the regional tournament this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Like I said, Johnson's in it. We're in it. Again, just come support your hometown teams.
Yeah. And for everybody listening, Coach, can you give us that time, kickoff time versus Vandegrift on Friday again?
At 6 p.m. It's set for 6 p.m. We're the last game. So, you know, there's three regional tournament games there. So, you know, I'm sure somebody's going into overtime and that's going to extend it. But it's set for 6 o'clock at Cumberlander. So, again, just come out and support all your teams.
Awesome. Thank you. He is Coach Bert Atilano, the head men's soccer coach of the Harlan Hawks, who will face Vandegrift in the 6A Region 4 regional tournament this Friday. Coach, best of luck. Appreciate your time. Thank you again.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Coach. Have a
good night. Sweet. What'd you think, man?
Yeah, what he's done at Harlan, you know, he's really built a really great, not only soccer culture, but a great program that's, you know, year in, year out, like a serious contender, not only originally, but also now they're starting to take that next step to become one of the better programs in the state. And, you know, to do it with all those seniors that they lost last year, mm-hmm. you know, they really got this team believing. And I can only imagine next year, they're probably going to be one of those teams to, you know, the really to look out for in, mm-hmm. in Region 4 and even also say statewide too. So, but, you know, they got a tough one with Vandegrift. I think they've faced each other, I think, in the past. I'm not too sure. I got to check on that. I think they've in the past, yeah, tournaments.
You're talking about this year. I was like, no, okay.
I think they've made a face in the past, or so I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
But like I said, you got two quality programs, and you got the, you know, like I said, Austin versus San Antonio, and mm-hmm. so something's got to give way here. It's like maybe you have an all San Antonio final.
Yeah,
you know, that's a possibility. But yeah. Like I said, they do have their hands full with Vandegrift. But I think, like I said, the boys are believing, and I think they have a good shot at getting to the next round.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and really appreciate him coming on. I became a big, you know, coach. It's ironic that we had Coach Johnson chime in here as well from Johnson, because, you know, I kind of became a big fan of both of them. I got to, you know, talk with them a little bit more last November at the, you know, the TASCO, Texas High School Soccer Coaches Convention, and a little bit more insight on them. But just my big takeaway. And then a couple of other meetings where I got to talk with Coach Johnson more, since we're in the same ISD, is that they're just good guys. You know, they're really good guys. So when you see great quality coaches that are also quality human beings, and they're, you know, their heart's in the right place, good intentions, and what they're doing for their communities, their players, and our sport, you know, it's very easy to root for them, you know, and wish them the best of luck. So yeah, no doubt. All right, so we're going to switch gears here, Coach. And so again, thanks to Coach Atilano joining us and switching gears here. So we're going to go ahead and take a look at our Game Balls Award, as well as our team stickers here. So if you're not familiar with us, so Game Balls here, what we typically do, so both Rafa and I, we will designate one girl from the girl side of the house and one boy from the boy side of the house for a Game Ball Award for any number of reasons. And then we will do the same. We designate a team on both sides of the house for any recent accomplishments. So, Coach, let's start off with game balls. Take it away. The floor is yours.
So, for my girls' game ball, I'm giving it to Callie Gilliam from Brazoswoods High School. She's a goalkeeper for Brazoswoods, and she made some two incredible saves against in the playoff last night. So I think taking Brazoswoods from the first ever regional tournament. So she's getting my game ball for the girls' side. And then for the boys' side, I was there last night at the game. I'm giving it to Diego Robles from Johnson High School. He hit the game winner, little cheeky little play, little flip over the goalkeeper, caught him off the line.
7 minutes left, I think.
It's about 7 minutes left, yeah. But the one thing about, you know, not only that goal, but he really stood out. He really hustled. He fought for a lot of the balls. Mm-hmm. And he was very you know, taking a lot of, you know, a lot of the Westside players one-on-one, and, you know, he was a difference maker on that game. I know it's a team effort, but him, he you can tell he really stood out. He was, you know, fighting for balls and so forth. So, but, you know, for him to get the game winner, send Johnson to the regional tournament. So I'm giving him the game ball for, awesome, for the good boys.
Day. Awesome. And for my game balls, on the girls' side, I want to select, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this might've been one who you selected last season, maybe, cause I want to say you selected her last year, but Emily Sidner, I think, Tomball Memorial. She had the game winning goal versus my Bridgeland, right? I make no secrets about it that I was obviously very high on Bridgeland, and she had the game winning goal late in the match versus Bridgeland. So shout out to her again. That's Emily Sidner from Tomball Memorial. Apologies if I'm not saying your last name correctly, Sidnor. And then on the boys' side, guy who put in an incredible shift in that penalty shootout between Katie Seven Lakes and Katie Jordan, Ben Aviles Vera from Katie Seven Lakes. He saved two penalties, and then also had the game winning penalty versus Katie Jordan in a high drama shootout. So congratulations to Ben Aviles Vera, as well as Emily Sidnor, both from Katie Seven Lakes and Tomball Memorial, respectively. All right, Coach, team stickers, who do you got?
So for the girls' side, I'm actually going to give this, and we mentioned them earlier, the Lifebox Ahatchee team. First ever Region 1 4A tournament. And, you know, they knocked off the defending state finalist, Stephenville, which, like I said, caught a lot of people by surprise. So I'm giving them the game ball. And like I said, don't take them lightly. Like I said, they could be that team that really, who knows, maybe be their destiny to get to Georgetown. I know they got some tough teams coming up. They got a tough game against San Eli. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it turns out on Friday. And then for the boys' side, another kind of first-timer in the regional tournament for also in 4A, Region 4, I have the Lavernia Bears.
Right.
Yeah. Congratulations, and got a 3-0 win over a really good Austin Achieve team that was making some noise in the playoffs, and so now they're heading down to Corpus, seeing if they can continue the journey and get to Georgetown.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Lifebox Ahatchee, it's turning into maybe the story of the entire state, right? Potentially. So, congratulations to them. And my team stickers on the girls' side. Katie Jordan, who, if you know or you are familiar with the background story, they've been through an awful lot in the last month for a number of personal reasons, and they defeated Stratford, another team that I was very, very high on in Stratford, in 7 rounds of penalties. Katie Jordan was actually, they were 2 penalties behind in this shootout, and pulled it out. So kudos to them. Congratulations to Katie Jordan on advancing to the regional tournament. And then on the boys' side, the Kingwood High School Mustangs, their first regional tournament appearance in 11 years, and they'll be facing Katie Cinco Ranch. So congratulations to them. Pretty awesome. I didn't realize it had been 11 years. So that was pretty amazing. So congratulations again, both the Katie Jordan girls and the Kingwood Mustang boys. Congratulations. But yeah, that's going to do it for both our game balls and our team stickers. We'll be right back shortly with a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with Jackson Verwick of the Frisco Sports Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Looking to step up your social media marketing game? Well, let us tell you about our great friends at Gipper. Gipper is a way that schools, athletic departments, ADs, and coaches create world-class marketing content. Join over 4,000 coaches, ADs, SIDs, and club directors who use Gipper to create high-quality visual branded graphics for your program. The best part? Anyone can do it in seconds on any device without needing any design experience whatsoever. If you do have significant design experience, you're going to love this as well, as you are what they call the power user, and this is designed with you in mind as well. And just for being a listener and supporter of the 50/50 podcast, you can receive savings immediately and save 10% off any first-time Gipper purchase. Simply visit gipper.com/partner/5050 to learn more. Again, that's gipper.com/partner/5050. And then there are our great friends at Global Scarves. Both Bill and Kyle, they are the top providers of custom knitted scarves, beanies, and other fan merchandise in the U.S. All merch is fully custom with free design services and free shipping on all orders. They do so much more, guys, than just scarves. Blankets, beanies, you name it, it's all designed and all customized to your specifications and needs. You can contact them at info@globalscarves.com to get any free designs or quotes built out for your school, club, or maybe even a supporters group. Simply mention the podcast or use the code #5050pod and they will be sure to take care of it. All right, and we are back, and we're going to go ahead and bring him in, a gentleman who we've quickly become a fan of, and he's kind of been giving us gave us a little bit of shout-outs and some love as well. He is Jackson Verwick of the Frisco Sports Network. Jackson, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing tonight? I've been listening to you guys so far tonight. It's been a lot of fun listening so far.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for being here. And what is going on? I know you were covering matches since the state playoffs started, and I know you just came in from covering a track meet as well, of all things, right?
Yes, sir. Covering the District 10 5A track meet for FISD, but more on the soccer side of things. I mean, FISD has had a numerous amount of success so far this postseason. Five teams participating in the regional semifinal in these upcoming matchups, and two of those schools having the guys and girls both make it, with Panther Creek and Wakeland respectively as well. And last night, Frisco took on a really talented West Mesquite team in a game that was a heartbreaker. Frisco was unable to win that game to advance to the regional semifinal. But I think something that's really interesting to keep note of, you guys talked about the very beginning of the show, is sometimes you see teams that are less talented end up coming up with a win. And I think that was the story of the season for Frisco High. They beat a lot of teams that they were not anywhere near talent-wise. And Dallas Morning News actually predicted Frisco Centennial versus Frisco. They predicted Centen to go all the way to the regional final to lose to Prosper Walnut Grove, and they ended up getting first rounded. So I think that kind of attests to exactly what you guys were saying. Like, and on any given night, the team that's less talented could end up coming up with a win. I just think that's really emphasized so far this playoff run.
Right. So, you know, so far, going through, one of the things that I often ask, and you've been covering them, you're very familiar with, you know, with the programs there, Frisco ISD.
Yes, sir.
And we look at, so they're kind of spread out over a couple of districts, but when you look at those schools in their respect, maybe their respective districts, or even just the Frisco ISD in general, how would you describe the, maybe the personality of those programs, the personality of those districts?
I think, even like outside of soccer, just the like almost like inner city rivalries that get developed within Frisco ISD, I think is the best part of having like 12 high schools in one district. It's kind of like that, almost like that college level of like, oh, this school versus this school is like a matchup you always got to see. In recent years, it's been Frisco versus Wakeland. Wakeland's had so much success the past couple seasons, going to state multiple times on the girls and guys side of things. And they actually both just beat the same Walnut Grove team for guys and girls in their last matchup in the regional quarterfinal, in games that were nail biters for the girls, more of a blowout for the guys, 4-1 win, goal scored by Thomas Hayes and Jack Mingski and Tanner Bowman as well. I mean, Wakeland is that program. Has been phenomenal all season long. But kind of to answer your question more in depthly, in terms of like those personalities within the programs, I mean, just developing the rivalries, but then also in the same token, when a team like Wakeland ends up going really far, having the support of 10, 11 other high schools that may have not made it as far to the state title game. We saw it last year, Frisco girls made it all the way to the state title game and lost in a 1-0 loss, but still getting second place. I mean, every FISD school packed that stadium and down in San Antonio. That environment, that kind of family-like energy that's developed, is honestly the best part of having such a loaded district full of talent and solid personnel as well.
Yeah. You know, I have kind of an affectionate nickname for Wakeland, right? Both the boys and girls, particularly the boys program, right? I don't know if you've heard it. I call them El Cucuy, right? Because they're just the boogeyman, right? They just
always,
they're the team you do not want to see on your bracket, right? They just, you know, I made the joke with them here when they were on a champions episode with us after they just won state title, that they in January they make their reservations for Georgetown in April, right? So they're just so synonymous. It was so weird not seeing them there in Georgetown last year, right? So, which I believe was their first time in what, 6 years, 7 years, I think it was. So,
it was a massive, it was crazy last year. But not to interrupt you, but side of the regional bracket, I filled one out for region 5A, region 2 for 5A. And so far, picks been pretty solid, up 20 for 22. But that right side of the bracket, those two matchups, Wakeland versus Walnut Grove, and then you got McKinney North versus Wakeland. I mean, that's going to be a phenomenal game. I mean, I think Wakeland loses it just due to the consistency of McKinney North. I mean, Wakeland has kind of been up and down all season. District play, they've been solid, but I mean, they lost the season series to Frisco, and Frisco really shouldn't have even made it past the second round, but they did due to just kind of the underdog mentality that kind of adapted over at Frisco. And I just think McKinney North have been so consistent all season, which is a parallel because the girls for Wakeland have been so consistent. Haven't lost a game all year, two ties, 22 wins. I think at one point, the number one rated team on max preps in the state of Texas, I think they're somewhere in the top 10 now. But it's crazy just the amount of talent in FISD is really awesome to see.
Yeah. When you talk about the McKinney North boys, tell us a little bit more about what is it that we maybe don't know enough around the state about them?
I mean, McKinney North is just such a talented team. I mean, full of talent everywhere. Senior goalkeeper Weston Stoll has been an absolute defensive anchor for this team, a captain for this team. He's been a 3-year starter, has really held it down defensively, for the Bulldogs, and they've been a contender. I have them winning the regional final and going to state. I have them winning in my bracket just because of that overall consistency. I mean, going undefeated in district play, only one tie and a couple fluke losses here and there to LaSalle early on in the season. After that, the Bulldogs and company really just locked in. And I think in terms of to more answer your question in terms of what the state is missing out on, is just the adjustments that CJ Shelton can make as the head coach of the Bulldogs have been impressive throughout the entire season. I mentioned that early loss to LaSalle. And after that, they really just kind of hindered things down defensively because that was the reason why they lost that game. Offensively, they've been fantastic all season. Top, I believe, 10 or 15 in the state in goals scored. Goals allowed on the other side has been where they've struggled a little bit, but since that LaSalle game, I mean, they've really locked things down defensively, and I think that's why they are ultimately going to be the team that represents 5A Region 2 in the state tournament.
Drefa, you got anything for Jackson?
Yeah, going with the Frisco teams, the biggest surprise was the defending state champion Lone Star not making the playoffs. How'd you feel about that?
It was absurd. I mean, it was just they graduated so many seniors. It was insane. I mean, that almost a parallel, making a lot of parallels here in FISD, and that's what you can kind of do when you have a district with so many high schools. Lone Star won state all the way last year and then couldn't even battle in to be the fourth seed. The story there is really interesting, though, because they actually won their last game, but because of Frisco and Reedy tying in a game where Frisco was heavily favored, the point differential ended up not – the 3 points that Lone Star got from that win ended up not mattering because of the no points gained for Reedy or Frisco. So Reedy ended up tying but stayed the 4 seed, and Lone Star ultimately was the 5 seed. But that's really similar to what we saw with the Frisco High School girls this year. They went all the way, as I just mentioned previously, second in state to not even making close to making the playoffs this past season, finishing near the bottom of District 9-5A. So it really kind of shows how much talent is in FISD, but how much that talent almost shifts, and not only in soccer, but especially in soccer alone. I mean, we've seen the emergence of Walnut Grove and heavily Frisco district with the fall of Heritage. I know that's the whole thing, but still Heritage was a really talented soccer team this year. But it's almost like that talent continues to shift around the entire district. And I think that's one of the best parts, is seeing 1 year you may see a team like Lone Star go all the way to state and win it, but now you're seeing Wakeland, who has been a dominant powerhouse and almost one of the most consistent teams out of the entire FISD district, consistently win. But even when they don't win, you see teams like Frisco pop in and win. And this, your Heritage as well, just the talent all around is immense.
Yeah. So, without mentioning, we're not going to get into particulars and name an actual school, but I know recently there was some controversy up there, right, in a particular district. What is the climate like now dealing with that and going forward into the state playoffs? Is that kind of an out of sight, out of mind thing, or where are we with that?
To not give specifics, I would say that I kind of like what you said with it, kind of an out of sight, out of mind, kind of leaving it in the past. Ultimately, I think the final decision was made, and I think there wasn't really an argument with it. I think, and that was the professional way to handle it. Ultimately, I don't think that I think not arguing with it, kind of just accepting it and moving on and going on to next season. I understand for the seniors that must kind of be a downer. You have a great season, you're not able to play in the playoffs, but I'd say the district as a whole kind of took it as a message to not play around and ultimately to move on and kind of leave that in the past. I really liked how you said that.
Yeah. Just, they didn't really want to harp on it too much, but I know since if there's anyone probably worth asking that, it would be you. So I know you're familiar with that.
Yes, sir.
But Rafa, you got anything else for Jackson?
Yeah, the also the surprise team. I know the girls' side has been Panther Creek. I know I know they get the teams, the 5A teams get most of the love or the time, coverage. Yeah,
but they've been.
But Panther Creek, like I said, they got a win earlier into the season. Should I win over Salina? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them going in? Because they may end up playing against each other in that regional final.
I know that would be awesome as a rematch. But Panther Creek is just such a young team because it's such a new school. So they've had young playmakers all over the field, like Zara Wurma, a sophomore forward who's been absolutely fantastic, averaging almost 2 goals a game this season. But also Ava Garvin, who's really managed to dish out the ball well, averaging just over one assist per game. I mean, Panther Creek, not only the girls, but the boys have been so successful. But it's really odd, though, because their play styles are so different. The girls play such an aggressive style of soccer compared to the boys that like to get early leads and then kind of just park the bus is how I kind of like to think of it, in terms of just getting up early and then almost just playing keep away from the opposing team and really chewing that time of possession. And so it's weird. They both had so much success this season. They're still alive and they're respective playoff runs, but the complete opposite ends almost of the spectrum. Like, you got Panther Creek attack, and you got the overly defensive mindset for the boys. I mean, it's just been really awesome to see it. I think it's given them a lot of love, and I think they really got their athletics put on the map when their football team made a really like Cinderella like run that they're doing right now for soccer in the 4A region. They went all the way to the round three and lost to the eventual state champion Anna. But still, I mean, Panther Creek Athletics, only in its first season of varsity play for football, its second season for soccer. I mean, it's been really exciting to see this team kind of come alive, despite having only a couple seniors on it.
That's pretty awesome stuff. Now, to tell us, so we start looking forward to the regional tournaments, and you've hinted on some of it a little bit, but highlight maybe boys' side, girls' side, one or two matchups on each side that you really maybe want to highlight going into this Friday.
Okay, I got you for sure. So one of those games for sure, no doubt, I think is going to be one of the most entertaining games of the entire season is going to be the Wakeland Wolverines, on the boys' side of things, is going to be the Wakeland Wolverines taking on the McKinney North Bulldogs. I mean, I kind of talked about why I love McKinney North so much, but still, I mean, Wakeland, despite having one of the smaller senior classes that they've had in recent years, they've been able to go on a relatively not unexpected run, but more of a dominant run than what we expected. They go 4-0 against Reading round one, but they barely get out of round two against WT Wipe, and they dominate Walnut Grove in round three, which was a game I thought was going to be much more closer than it was. And Wakeland has had such a tough side of this bracket that I think they're almost like battle tested in a way and ready to play this McKinney North team. And I ultimately think that's why it's going to be such a good game. Though I have Wakeland losing in that game, I still think it's going to be like a classic. I anticipate 2-1, 3-2, a game that's decided in the final minutes. For sure. But another game on the boys'
side. No penalties in that one, huh? You don't see pens in that?
No pens in that
no
one.
Shootout, no shootout.
Done late. But I wouldn't mind seeing some PKs in that one. I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. And gotcha. And still staying in region 5A, region 2, is West Mesquite versus Kingwood Park. I mean, West Mesquite, I feel like, has not necessarily been a Cinderella story, but they've gone a lot farther than I think most expected. I picked them to get to this point and play Kingwood Park, but the atmosphere that I was at last night for Frisco versus West Mesquite, I mean, was one of the best environments I've ever been in a sporting environment in my entire life. And I know I haven't covered a lot of sports, but I mean, the energy and the fans, the way they almost influenced the ball game and almost force the refs to make a call when, I mean, in a normal game, you might have not seen a call just due to overemphasized amount of like the crowd and fan reactions in the game. I mean, those are some of the most dedicated sports fans I think I've ever seen in my life. So West Mesquite versus Kingwood Park is going to be a really exciting ball game because Kingwood Park has absolutely breezed through their playoff runs. They've won every game by, I believe, more than three. So it's going to be really fun to see a Kingwood Park team that is so talented go up against a team that is finally within their same range. I believe they're both ranked in the top 50 of Max Preps's State of Texas ranking. So it's going to be really fun to see that top 50 matchup so late. And I think ultimately that game is going to be and back to that Wakeland-McKinney North game, I think the McKinney-North-Wakeland game is ultimately going to be what the regional final game is. Because I believe whoever wins that ball game between McKinney North and Wakeland is going to take care of West Mesquite or Kingwood Park no matter what.
Right. And you know, and that ultimately becomes the case, right? Is when you make it to this next phase of state playoff soccer, is you got to do everything you can to survive the semifinal and make it to the final. So depth becomes an issue. And one thing that you highlighted earlier for McKinney North is coaching, right? Adjustments, right? Is who can make those better on the fly? Because in our sport, there is no timeout. You get halftime. And then if you're going to extra time, you get another opportunity, and that's about it. So you got to make those on the fly. So Rafa, you got anything else for Jackson?
Yeah. Going into, like I said, this, you know, weekend, you know, any other key matchups, maybe outside of Frisco? I don't know, because you have also the Region 1, 2 with the Metroplex. Any key games you're really interested in looking at?
Yeah, I'm really staying in that 5A aspect. Monterey versus Midlothian, I think, is going to be a really good game as well. I mean, they've both been teams that have kind of been battle tested throughout the playoffs. They both won some of their games have been blowouts, obviously, but a lot of their games have been very tightly contested matches that have been the difference of like one call versus or just one goal. And I think when you have two teams that have played in such tightly contested games, that's how you have that tension. That's why in that West Mesquite versus Frisco game, I mean, those two teams like weren't really supposed to be there. And so it's almost they both have this like underdog mindset, and the chirpiness that goes back and forth, and this over physical kind of style of soccer is personally what I love to see. And things got a little chirpy last night. You don't love to see that, but I mean, sometimes it kind of adds that animosity, especially when the crowd gets into it and you see some shoving, you get some physicality, not the whole nine yards like a fight or anything, but still, I think that's what ultimately is going to happen between the two MHS schools. Personally, I think that's going to be an exciting game. They're going to go against the state tourney. They're going to go to the state title game to face off against McKinney North or Waco, I think, more than likely in the state semifinals. So I think those kind of two to three kind of clumps of games are going to be so exciting due to just the amount of close and contested games that all six of those teams have played.
Now, will you be on the call? Will you be on the call for that that Wakeland McKinney North match?
I'm not sure I'll be on the call for that game, but I'm definitely going to be at that game for sure. You're
covering it. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir.
If you are on a call or you cover anything, just you got to sneak in El Cucuy in there for me for when you're talking about Wakeland.
Absolutely. Especially if they come out with the win, I'll throw on some player interviews asking, what are your thoughts on the El Cucuy mindset? Something like that. Oh, for sure. Oh, I got you. Yeah,
they might have to get t-shirts that say El Cucuy.
I'm going to have to trademark that.
Yeah, they're going to have to trademark that.
That's what some of the schools have done. I mean, this past season, Frisco High School's motto was take their cookies on the back of all their shirts. So I think the El Cucuy might be able to top that slogan. There you go.
So here's a quick question. So Ken Murphy's in here from Ken Murphy Photography. Shout out to Ken. Thank you. As always, sure. One of our most faithful listeners and supporters. Thank you, Ken. Thoughts on South Lake Carroll and Prosper on the girls' side? Because this is going to be a heavyweight match here.
Yeah, I think I love the 6A matchups because not only just because the teams themselves, but the amount of fan turnout you see. I kind of hinted on that for West Mesquite, but it's different though because it's consistent fan turnout. So it's almost like these teams are used to it versus like some 4A and 5A schools that may be smaller, not as big of a fan turnout. I mean, and they're usually in those bigger stadiums that have more capacity. So, and I kind of like what Ken Murphy said. I mean, the defense for Prosper, I think, is what's going to give them the edge over South Lake Carroll, but just the energy and atmosphere of that ball game, I think, is going to be unmatched just due to the amount of people that are going to be there for both sides. And I think those are two state caliber teams that unfortunately have to play so early in the bracket.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So Jackson, this has been awesome. Really appreciate you. Thank you for making the time. Thank you guys for having me on.
I appreciate it.
We know you literally, no pun intended, ran in from covering a track meet. So really appreciate you. And but as is customary, as we did with Coach Atilano, whenever we have a guest on here, we like to give them the opportunity, shout outs, thank yous, talk about anything that's on your mind as it relates to the game or the state playoffs themselves. The floor is yours.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys so much. The at Jack Verrick TV is my social on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, etc. I just want to say thank you to you guys for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it. Getting to cover the FISD soccer so far and towards the later end of district play and into the playoffs has been super fun. Getting to take some photos, getting on the call for some of the girls' action has been a lot of fun. So a special thank you to the Frisco Sports Network and my producer, Stephen Thorty, and my crew, Ian Masood, Anna Knight, of making that possible. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I just want to say thank you guys once again for having me on. I really appreciate it. Can I ask one quick question though? Is that all right with y'all?
Sure. Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
So what do you guys think of the FISD district? I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on just having so many high schools in one thing? And ultimately, like, who do you guys have? Do you have any FISD schools making it, whether it's Panther Creek, Wakeland? Who do you guys have?
Man, you would ask that 55 minutes into a pod to our episode, right? That's like another 2 hours.
That's
right,
a loaded right? question. My bad.
No. You're great. So I'll step into it first in terms of my thoughts on just in general. It's, you know, a phenomenal culture. You know, one of the things of just culture of excellence across the board. It's kind of why I asked that question a little bit in terms of characteristics and personality of, because I know they're sprinkled across multiple districts, but just in terms of within the ISD. But then also you know, I, for example, to answer one of your questions, Wakeland, I'm not going against them until they're out of the tournament.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to bet against Lakeland in any capacity.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, they're just they've proven me wrong so many times, and they just, like I tell you, that is what you know, one of my mottos for my, you know, my squad is culture. Culture wins championships, and that's how I view them. And it's kind of why I affectionately gave them that El Cucuy nickname, because they're a machine. You know, new year, new, you said it yourself, right? They're young, and yet they're still, any other, probably most programs, they would be considered like, wow, massively overachieving this year. But because it's Wakeland, they're just they're expected to be there. So yeah, that's who, but I'm excited. You know, you got me excited about McKinney North. McKinney North is one that I've been tracking closely and becoming a bigger fan of as well. So excited. That's going to be a phenomenal matchup as well, but I'll pass it over to Rafa.
Yeah, I think Frisco's the district. I mean, how could you not have a Frisco team in Georgetown? That's kind of like when you don't see a Frisco team in Georgetown, it's like, what happened? You know, that's just become the norm, you know, especially with the pedigree that Wakeland has. You know, I think that's a lot of the teams in the state want to get to that level, you know, have that consistency. But also the girls teams have done it too. I think they've established themselves, you know, each year. And the biggest surprise is with all those schools that they have, you know, you kind of think it'd be watered down a lot of the talent, but no, they.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
You know, you have other teams like Reedy is a great program.
Yeah, you know, yeah. All star
last goals, year. You know, they just pump out soccer players there, and I can only imagine if they're going to end up adding three. I'm wondering if they're going to add three more high schools. How that's going to, you know, are they going to end up having two district, you know, more districts, you know? But how do you feel? I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel about the Frisco soccer? You know, having all these schools, you know, do you think maybe at some point it's going to hit like a peak and maybe things will settle down, or are they just, you know, the talent is just so much there in that district?
Yeah, and I that's a question that is kind of asked a lot, is just how the impact of so many schools, the talent disparity. And I know some people have come with some hypotheticals like, man, what if Frisco was like kind of playing like the Plano, like Frisco East or Frisco West or whatever. And I mean, those teams would be absurdly talented because the amount of talent just in terms of youth sports in the North Texas area is just insane. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you talked about a team to not even hit or get on is the Reedy girls soccer team. And they're still dancing too. They've got one of the top goal scorers in the entire state in Zara Jacobs and Louis Triano and Ashley Rodbenowitz. I mean, they have so much talent only in Reedy alone. And so, but I kind of what you were saying in terms of, I think at some point it may get to a point of like plateauing. I know there was hints that maybe at some point, maybe combining some teams that ever got to a point, like two smaller programs that like haven't had as much success, almost kind of turning into one kind of sort of unit. But I think we're really far away from that point in time. I think that the 12 high school model is still relatively new, with Emerson and Panther Creek both being added within the last 2 to 3 years. What I will kind of say as a caveat to that, I don't think they'll build anymore. It'd be impossible to throw a 13th high school in there. I mean, to be honest, I don't even know what you name it at that point. I feel like you've hit as many possible names as you can, and as many different mascots as well, from the raccoons to the Panthers. I mean, you kind of hit every possible every possible creature in the forest there. But I think it's definitely going to be a while till we see a 13th high school in Frisco. But even if it gets to that point, I mean, the amount of talent, I think they could handle it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and that was kind of one of the reasons why I asked that particular question about the program, right? The dealing with the controversy, right? Because I kind of wanted to gauge where that's at, because that's such a, you know, that ISD and just that area is just so, it's truly iron sharpens iron, right? And I was just kind of curious how they were handling that in particular. But, you know, and Limsey's in here and mentions this, you know, Highland Park joining the mix next year.
I saw that. I was going to try and comment. I mean, that's the realignment for UIL. I mean, not only for soccer, but for basketball is absolutely absurd for the football. I mean, they bring McKinney North in for the bigger Frisco district. They bumped down Frisco Liberty, who's struggled football wise. But I mean, but here's the weird thing is that there's not one school that's dominant every single sport. Every school almost has at least one sport they're dominant in. Like LT, who has struggled in soccer and football terms, they have a very dominant tennis team. And then you look at Frisco Liberty, they haven't won a football game since 2021, but they just went back-to-back for girls basketball. So in state title. They won the state title back-to-back years with uberly talented teams. And Ross Reedy, the head coach of the girls soccer, of the girls basketball team, has won 7 state titles in his time there. It's absurd. So obviously adding in Highland Park is going to impact the district, and it's going to make it for kind of add tougher district matchups, but it almost helps these teams more by playing tougher district games where they aren't beating down on each other, but they have a chance to play other teams that aren't just in Frisco. And I think it's almost like it's another non-district game when you have a team like Highland Park or McKinney North get added to an FISD heavy district, because they're so unused to playing them that it's like practicing almost for a playoff game, because you play these teams. I mean, Frisco, Reedy, Lakeland have played each other so many times that the tendencies and for personnel and sets and everything like that for any type of sport, but for specifically soccer, is something that you can kind of pick up on. And that's kind of what I believe the difference was when Frisco played Wakeland the first time in Toyota Stadium. Frisco got up early and parked the bus. It's kind of what Frisco's model has been all season, getting those 1-0, 2-1, like really, really kind of nitty gritty wins. And Wakeland tied them the second time, but they were able to stay more aggressive and not let Frisco park the bus as much on them. So kind of to answer your question though, kind of talking a little, kind of going off stray here, Highland Park, McKinney, those teams I think are ultimately going to benefit those teams in the FISD heavy districts for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Great. Well said. Well said. Great question as well. And then, yeah, I mean, we even had, where was he? I know I saw his comment here, posted it a second ago. So yeah. Ken Murphy here was talking about the same thing, right? With Highland Park, just further culture, right? Just such a big piece. Such a big piece. So, again, he is Jackson Verwick of the Frisco Sports Network. Jackson, appreciate you. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight, guys. I really appreciate it.
We'll be in touch. We'll be in touch to have you on in the future. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Take care. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
Great stuff. Great stuff from Jackson. So, what'd you think?
Great insight on what it's, you know, you've always been curious, like the Frisco teams, you know, because like I said, they get a lot of, you know, publicity up there, but here's more of the inside of, you know, about these teams. And, you know, every year, that's always someone's going to be a contender, you know, like I mentioned, but the Frisco High, you know, but Centennial, Reedy. And so it just shows like that, you know, I think Frisco IZ is starting to become like the mecca of Texas high school soccer as far as, you know, just the talent. You know, if you kind of look at the other districts in the state, you know, with that many schools, you know, you got to rank them high as far as maybe probably the top, maybe the, I guess they could be the top, you know, ISD when it comes to men's and women's soccer there in the state. And just the consistency with, you know, these teams have done in the playoffs. Like I said, look how Wakeland's really established themselves. And then last year with Lone Star, you got Reedy, Panther Creek. So it's interesting to see how, what, you know, in the future, what they have in store, you know, yeah. The next, especially this coming realignment.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. And shout out there to Panther Creek's Ava Garvin. No, we just mentioned you there. Jackson mentioned you a few minutes ago. Thank you for listening and for the shout out as well. Thank you. Thank you for connecting there, Ken. Really appreciate you. Limsey came in here with some great comments as well. Thank you. Thank you to him. And a big thank you to, again, Jackson Verwick of the Frisco Sports Network for joining us. Great content, great insight as well. So, all right, man, final stage. Regional, we're going to talk some regional tournaments, some regional tournament matchups here. We're going to go ahead and highlight some key matchups. As we mentioned, we're not going to discuss every single match, every single event, but what we are going to do is we're going to highlight 6 and 6, 6 on the girls' side, 6 on the boys' side, 2 apiece across each classification. So first one, Salina versus Jacksonville, Region 2 4A. Thoughts on this one, Rafa?
I think this is probably one of the sleeper games that probably a lot of people may be anticipating. This probably could be one of a real classical game. You know, you know Salina's history. They're going for, you know, another state title. Jacksonville's kind of really established themselves in East Texas, and this is a big game for them. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be back and forth. And so, you know, whoever's out there, you know, get the opportunity to, you know, to watch this game. They're in for a treat. And then you look at that second game. That's a rematch from last year, and I think Bay City, Bay City, you know, love their tweets. Oh, thanks. Whoever's their graphic designer, kudos to them. I think they're really, absolute best. We also had to give the Hargrave too. They got some good ones too. I like some of their stuff. So shout out to them too. But Bay City, I think they're really looking for some revenge in this game, and I think this year could be the year. I know they were heartbroken last year. Lumberton said they had a great squad last year. We'll see how this one goes. And then you look at the other two, like Leander Rouse and Rouse versus McAllen. So you have the Austin versus the Valley team, and McAllen Memorial's been the dominant team for, you know, in the Valley, whether 5A, 4A, 5A, 6A. They've really established something, you know, great down there. But now they have a test, you know. Can they compete against, you know, the teams here, like in the Austin, San Antonio, Austin area? And then the other game, PNG, what can you say about them? Another great season for them.
Right.
But that they got an interesting matchup with Hendrickson, and that Hendrickson's teams had some surprise wins. And
kind of, a Hendrickson squad that I don't mm-hmm. think a lot of people saw coming, not this far.
Yeah, and because I said they've been in this situation in the past, so like I said, so you know they finally kind of got some things together, and they're in the hunt. And who's to say they don't get to play in their backyard, pretty not too far away up the road,
right.
Up 35. And then what can you say about game number 5? like what Jackson mentioned, it's gonna be a classic, and I mean this could be a state championship game. They were in two different regions.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Prosper, they finally kind of got into, you know, it's a lot of the disappointment from last few years, you know, falling short. But, you know, this is going to be a great test for Southlake Carroll, you know, about great offense versus defense. You know, like I mentioned, like Kim mentions here, too bad this is so early, but,
you know. Too bad it's so early, yeah.
You know, we'll see
how Southlake. He's big on that Prosper defense, too.
Yeah. Well, like they say, defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. But I think Carroll is really on a mission, and especially from the disappointment from last year. I think they're very focused. I think they have a chip on their shoulder and they have something to prove. But I could see this game going to PKs, and then the one we actually get to see on Friday. Very talented Round Rock team. Like I said, they were there last year. You know, can they? You know, I think they're a lot better this year. But same thing with Taft, you know, they're back at it again. You know, last year they fell a game short against one of the Round Rock teams. This is gonna be a great matchup. You know, Taft.
This is the other rematch in these mm-hmm. set of six, right? They're no strangers to the plane at this point, right? So last year I cannot recall off the top of my head what the final was in that. Do you recall that?
I think Taft had the lead, and then they ended up. I think they lost 2-1, and I think a late goal kind of pretty much, you know, kind of. And then also the weather was also a factor there too. Right. And I think there was a miss call too on a foul, I think on their keeper. So you know the Taft girls are looking forward for this game, and they're gonna give it everything they got, you know. And I know they have their hands full here with Round Rock, but I think they're motivated enough. But it's gonna be a great game, especially where we're gonna be there. We get to call that game there on Friday afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, so much going on here in these six, and I just, you know, honestly, the hardest time I had was just being able to only pick six, right? Two per classification. That was really the hardest part. Because I didn't, there was so many directions I could go with this stuff here. But yeah, I think that, you know, just Salina, Jacksonville, Salina very much similar to kind of like a Wakeland, right? It's like, I'm not going against them until someone beats them, right? I'm not going against them, right? So Coach Adams has done a tremendous job up there in Salina. Really looking forward to this Lumberton Bay City matchup. I think just has a chance to really be, you know, potentially the 4A matchup, you know, the matchup of all of 4A in the region of all the regional semifinals potentially. And I feel very similar about that PNG Pflugerville Hendrickson matchup. Right. So, and then one to really, I think that's kind of got me salivating here is just Leander Rouse and McAllen Memorial having just their most historic season ever. right? And then just a really strong Rouse team coming out of a out of an incredibly strong district that's really shining so far. So looking forward to covering that one, seeing that one as well. And then, of course, as you mentioned, I mean, Carroll Prosper, don't really have to go into much detail on that. And then being able to be on the call, we will be on the call there this Friday, Comalander Stadium for the Region 4 6A regional tournament. We will be on the call there for Round Rock and San Antonio Taft as well. So great stuff. And moving on to the boys' side, we'll start off here. Tell me your thoughts on these first two here, Coach.
Yeah, some interesting matchups are here. Like, well, San Ely's been the staple, one of the staples for 4A boys soccer. Like I said, they have a few state titles. But the surprise this year is Castleberry. Castleberry, like I said, I did have them. Like I said, it was a few times in my power rankings. This is going to be a test for them. Can they slay the dragon there in Region 1, you know, and get on to get to Georgetown? So they got a tall task. Like I said, I know the San Ely boys are going to bring it. But I think the one that's going to overshadow that is that game number two, the Bernie Hidalgo. That's the rematch from last year. And you know Coach Strong and the Bernie boys, I think they had this game circled around.
Oh, yeah.
They've been waiting for this. I think they want some, you know, this is a, you know, for what happened last year, you know, Hidalgo ended up winning the state title. This year they're back at it. I think Bernie's on a mission. I think they got something to prove, and I think they're gonna take out, you know, they're, you know, try to take out their frustrations on not getting that third straight title and against them. So, but that's gonna be a great game. I think that's being played in Corpus Christi.
Right. Yeah, you hit on that. You hit on that, you know, both of these, and it's kind of, I was in the middle of when we were putting this together, right? This graphic together. I was on maybe number three when we realized that, I mean, this is really kind of my picks who I see on a collision course to potentially face each other at some point in Georgetown, Bernie and San Ely, right? Obviously Castleberry and Hidalgo didn't get the memo, right? They're going to have something to say about that. But yeah, I agree with you. Just San Ely, you know, Coach Sappenfield just doing remarkable things there. That's another example of culture, right? Same thing with Bernie in their final year in 4A, and Coach Strong has him back. He really has him back. And I think they're, you know, just kind of licking their chops. They wanted this matchup. And so, yeah, should be a great game, both of these. All right, Coach, our next two there, 3 and 4.
So three, we have West Mesquite and Kingwood Park, your classic Houston versus Dallas matchup. Kingwood Park's been in this, you know, this round before. Like I said, they have gone on, like I said, a couple years ago. I got to see him play, end up going to the state final. But what a great season for West Mesquite. You know, can they, you know, get it together there in the region two, because they're for region two, because that one's always a tough region. Like I said, I think the marquee games also, like I said, McKinney North and Wakeland, I think they're getting more of the press, but, you know, they meet West Mesquite and Kingwood Park. They're like, well, you know, we're here too. You know, I think, you know, they want to have something to prove. And then game number four, Southwest and Brownsville Lopez. And this one's going to be at the Brownsville Sports Park. So Brownsville Lopez is going to have that very rabid crowd. And I've been to some of their games, and they can really intimidate you. And they and the these Valley teams, when they play down there, they really feed off that, you know, those fans. Southwest is, you know, is gonna have to run the gauntlet. You know, they've come, like I said, last year they came short, you know, losing the Sherryland. You know, this is a great opportunity for them. They're gonna have, like I said, they're gonna have to run the gauntlet in order to get to Georgetown. But they have the, like I said, they do have the talent. They had a great big win last night. So I'm looking forward to that matchup. And then another one, number five, is I know the Prosper girls have been getting the kind of the coverage, but the boys, they've made some noise there in Region 1, and, you know, some great expectations for them. But they got a really tough test with the Pebble Hills. And what can you say about Pebble Hills? I know Del Valle and Bel Air kind of gets the, you know, and Eastlake gets the, you know, the coverage, but Pebble Hills has put a phenomenal season here. And we may end up seeing an all El Paso final. When would that be in Region 1?
Could you imagine that? Could you
imagine that? Pebble Hills versus East Lake final. That's a possibility. So, but like I said, Prosper does have this. This is going to be a great matchup. Dallas versus El Paso. You know how those games are.
And then you talk about East Lake, right? East Lake is not in here, right? They're not one of our highlighted matches, but East Lake has that pedigree. They're very familiar with being here. Pebble Hills is, you know, they're not the upstart per se. They've been around for a little bit now, but definitely their most talented squad. And Prosper definitely has to come to play because Pebble Hills is going to make them earn it. And, you know, if they allow Pebble Hills to get off to a fast start, early start, it could be a tough one for Prosper. But yeah, I think I agree. Prosper girls getting a lot of the talk, but yeah, I think Prosper boys will be ready as well. Go ahead, finish up with six, coach.
Yeah, six is another great matchup with it because we just talked with coach right here. Like I said, Harlan, like I said, had a tough game like last night against Harlingen, but great win. But I think that adversity is going to help them out because they have a really chance matchup with Vandergriff. And Vandergriff's kind of really bounced back. You know, the last couple of years have kind of fallen short early in the rounds. I know they had a great run a couple years ago. Here, there's the opportunity. They beat a very good Austin Bowie team. Well, we thought it was probably going to be the favorite again to win the region. But you know, they went out there, took care of business, and this, like I said, this is going to be a great game. So we also get to be on the call for this. So I'm looking forward for this matchup at 6 p.m. tomorrow night there on Friday night at Comalander Stadium.
Yeah, and a shout out there again. So Ken Murphy will be covering. Yeah, you're going to get to see some great games there, Ken, right? South Lake Carroll Prosper Girls and Prosper Boys versus El Paso Pebble Hills. So we'll be looking forward to some of your great work there. Yeah, it looks like, yeah, and that's the other great thing going into this regional tournament, you know, this regional tournament round. It looks like we're going to have great weather for the most part across the state is what it looks like. So, but yeah, Sanelli, Castleberry, Bernie, Hidalgo, we already hit on those. West Mesquite, Kingwood Park, really big on West Mesquite, really liking them. And, you know, this is a San Antonio Southwest squad that I just saw in person yesterday, right, versus San Antonio MacArthur. Taking on, can they, you know, this is a team that's been knocking on the door here for a while now, right about here. And to do it, to get to Georgetown, they're going to have to, as you said, run that gauntlet, walk that gauntlet, whatever you want to call it, in Brownsville versus potentially not one, but two Brownsville squads, right? So that'll be a fun one. And yeah, we talked about Pebble Hills and Prosper and then Vandergriff. And we had Coach Altilano from Harlan, San Antonio Harlan on here earlier. Vandergriff, right? Just feel like, why is nobody talking about them? You know, why is nobody there? I don't know if they are the, you know, the Rodney Dangerfield here of you know, Region 4, 6A or what's going on. They just maybe not getting the respect that, you know, obviously I know Coach Atilano is going to have his group at Harlan, you know, with respect and ready to play Vandergriff, but just feel like, why? I don't know. They just keep kind of getting picked against some, and they keep pulling it out. They keep pulling it out. What are your thoughts on, so we'll be on the call for this one, obviously, but your thoughts on this one in particular, once again, in terms of a matchup with Vandergriff and San Antonio Harlan?
You know, with Vandergriff, you know, I think they've kind of flown under the radar, even though they've had a successful season. I think because Austin Bowie was getting most of the kind of the attention, and but last night they proved something and they said, hey, you know, we pretty much, you know, took out the favorite, and now I think they've positioned themselves to be maybe now the favorite, you know. But what Harlan may have something to say about that, Johnson may have something to say about that, so maybe Enderbrook North has to say about that. But I think that win right there really kind of solidified themselves and said, hey, we're for real, because we knocked off the favorite for the region. Like I said, Harlan's going to be ready to go. I think, like I said, what they've built this last few years coming here, I know they've kind of fallen short in the semifinal games. I know we called one when they lost to Lake Travis, and you know that was a great game too. And a couple of years ago, I think they had another battle with them too in the kind of the close of this round. So I think is this a one where we do end up getting an all San Antonio final, or do we get another Austin San Antonio final, Vandergriff, maybe Johnson? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that was one of the reasons why I asked Coach Attilano about that. I'm not going to call it a perceived home field advantage, but on paper, right? Just because, you know, obviously history, recent history has shown us that it has not always necessarily worked out that way, right? In terms of particularly San Antonio versus Austin here in 6A at Comalander. So yeah, great matchup. Very excited to be calling those. And again, if you're just joining us, we were mentioning that a couple of times, and more details to come on that, but we will be in attendance on the call for multiple 6A region 4 regional tournament matches. And don't know if we're going to cover all four yet. I know Rafa and I still have to coordinate schedules, but I think they're 11, 1, 4, and 6 are the kickoff times. And that's the other interesting piece, right? Is because Coach Attilano mentioned that they may, you know, they're scheduled for the last one of the day at 6, but who knows what time they even see the field, right? Who knows what time they step on for pregame warmups, right? So, because that can, you can get a little antsy there after a while, because just one more thing. Yes, they're experienced, they're used to travel, but there's just one more thing that just kind of, you have to be flexible and just can throw off your routine just a little bit. So, So looking forward to covering that on the call as well. So that's it, Coach. That's going to do it. We wrapped up another one, episode 6 of Inside Texas High School Soccer. Next episode, obviously, if you're seeing this, you can see this on the bottom ticker. If you're hearing this after the fact, our next episode is coming. This will be this Sunday, April 7th. Time is still to be determined. We're finalizing that. That obviously will depend on how things play out on Saturday as well, since we will potentially be on the call for maybe one or two regional finals as well. So, that's going to do it, Coach. Stoppage time. Final thoughts, shout outs, whatever you got. What do you got?
Yeah, just shout out to all the people, like I said, I've seen at a lot of the playoff games. I know it's tough for me because, like I said, I do work. I do travel a lot. I'm not retired, so I can go to every single game and so forth. So I try my best. But the thing is, thank you for all the praises, Snow, for the Fifth Wheel Podcast, but also for Santos Soccer Roundtable. So, like I said, we try to do as much as we can to cover some of the games. Especially like last night, I know, Coach, you were there at Ferris Stadium. I was here at San Marcos covering the Westlake and Johnson game. So, like I said, we try our best to get to as many games as we can, like depending on our schedules, because, like I said, we do have jobs and stuff. So once I'm retired, I can go to any game I want and go anywhere I want. So hopefully that'll be soon. Maybe soon.
You're way too young to be retired. You're not old like me.
If I hit the lotto, so maybe I can retire young. So far, so if you got your Powerball tickets, I hope you got those. But like I said, I'm looking forward for this week. You know, for this weekend, some great matchups. For all the teams that are in this, like I said, be proud of what you have accomplished, because you're in the final 16 teams. It is very difficult to get to this stage. Embrace the moment, enjoy it, you know, and that's something when you look back on, it's something to be really proud of. And then for the teams that advance, you know, they get to Georgetown the next week, starting next Wednesday. Like I said, that's where we're going to see a lot, you know, some very interesting matchups, especially how the UIL pairs them. And hopefully, like I said, by next Saturday evening, we'll have some new state champions.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? We're entering, what is that, the last 10, 11 days of the season, right? So, yeah, next Wednesday. It all starts next Wednesday, right? The final, where the road ends there in Georgetown. And we'll be excited to bring you daily coverage of that. More details to come as well. So we just got to take it one episode at a time, right? Got to get to episode 7, which will be this Sunday. Time to be determined, and we'll give you all your post regional tournament coverage, recaps, and might have on a guest or two as well. So looking forward to that. And my final thoughts. You mentioned some of it. Just I wanted to kind of hit on the other side of it. And again, thanks to Coach Atilan for joining us. Really appreciate you. Great guy, man. Great guy.
Yeah.
The other side of it, you know, you talked about the teams that are still in, but I kind of also wanted to address the teams that are no longer in, right? Just to make it, obviously some districts incredibly tough just to qualify, right, for the state playoffs and to be part of the tournament. You know, it's kind of the reason why we call it the dance and we call it March Madness, kind of a play on words from, you know, the college basketball March Madness. But the reality of it is it's incredible. It's just to be part of it, right? The event phase one complete by district area regional quarterfinal, phase two about to begin on Friday. And you're right, by Saturday evening, by this time Saturday night, we should know what our state tournament matchups are going to be. But for those who, whether it was in by district area or maybe Monday or last night in the regional quarterfinal, were eliminated, you know, keep your heads held up high. Particularly the group that I want to address are our seniors, right? The ones who played their last game in their jersey for their school, for their community, with their classmates, with their teammates, with their best of friends who played for the last time. So, and you're right. You know, you talk about being in the moment, never taking it for granted. And it really is kind of a bittersweet piece of, I hate to see it for athletes, but I love to see what it means to them, you know? So, you know, for our athletes everywhere, our student athletes everywhere, having played their last game, those seniors, you know, we're with you. We appreciate you. You're a big reason why we do this, why we cover the game and what we pour into it in terms of our heart, our passion. It's for you all. And it's to try to pass that along for one day for you all to pay it forward to the next generation. And just really proud of you guys. Have loved it. It's been, I've said it now for the last 3 years, that I've had the best seat in the house, being able to cover, you know, cover our sport, cover the college game as well, and just have some incredible guests on here, incredible coaches. The relationships, the friendships, the partnerships I've been able to form by virtue of this, of the podcast, is it humbles me and I'm grateful for it. And I speak from a little bit of raw emotion as well, because, you know, my girls team was eliminated last Friday in an unbelievable area round matchup. And so proud of them, really grateful for them. And to return to the public side after being away, to return to the UIL side, it's just been such a blessing. I've had such a tremendous year, such a great first year at San Antonio MacArthur. I'm grateful for all our coaches, our administration, but particularly my student athletes and my seniors. Love you guys. Thank you. So that's going to do it. Thanks again to everybody. So for Coach Bert Atilano and Jackson Verwick from the Frisco Sports Network and San Antonio Harlan, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate everybody. You are the reason why we do it. We cannot mention that, stress that enough. And you know what to do. We'll be back on Sunday with episode 7. But until the next time, you know what to do. Keep downloading and keep listening. You've been listening to the 50-50 Podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.